I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Helen, I'm back. I've been away. I've been in Barbados for Daddy's daddy. You've been calling me constantly. To be honest, I couldn't be asked chatting with you. But now I'm back in London, I'm ready to crack on, chat about shit. So bring me back and we'll meet up, bring beef.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
Hello.
Hi, Rosie. How are you?
I'm good.
Yay.
It's been ages.
I've missed you so much.
I've missed you.
Do you want to sing a song?
Yeah.
You're the one that I want. You are the one I want. Don't look at Cindy. Honey. That was good. That was a good song. By the way, there's covers of that because I did a show at the Bloomsbury Theatre last week and Caitlin, who was the tech there, she was like, what do you want to have playing when you walk in? And I was like, I like S Club 7 or whatever. She was like, have you heard this cover of S Club 7? There's an S Club Party cover which is like done in folk music style and it's fucking on soin. Like, you have to listen to it. It's so good. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
What? Yeah,
I've got an anecdote.
About that when we were singing Greece.
Yeah, because they do a Grease cover as well. That's how I got there in my head. It's hard to say all your links, isn't it, in your brain? So, like, our guest is just looking at me like I'm a piece of shit right now.
No.
Okay, no.
Not a piece of shit.
Talk.
Not
a... We haven't introduced you.
I didn't talk to you. I looked at you and I talked about you to your face. Yeah, flip the birdie at me, bitch. Okay.
How are you?
Okay, I've been through the wars in the last 2 weeks. I'd like Sindhu's input on this. So, like, please welcome Sindhu V! Yay! We love Sindhu!
Oh, I love you guys.
Okay, hi Sindhu, blah, 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 blah. I thought I broke my ankle the other day because I was at Top Secret. I fell down one step and it like crunched.
What?
Right?
No.
And I was like, holy fucking shit. But I still had loads of adrenaline in my body. I was in between shows, upstairs and downstairs. I did downstairs. Afterwards, there were some people I knew there. They wanted to have a drink. We were half through having drinks and I was like, I think I've broken my ankle. Like, I think I need to go home. You know, when you're like, this is really painful. Mm. Got home, iced it, woke up the next morning, could not put any weight on it and was like scooting around on my bum. Shit. And I was like, yeah, I've got to go to hospital. Yeah. I rang 111 and they were like, you have to go to the hospital and get an x-ray. And I was like, damn it. So my friend would be hanging out with Neil O'Rourke, who I don't like because of this story. Neil O'Rourke, he came to mine, took me to the hospital in an Uber that he paid for. So he is winning in this way.
So far,
Neil's doing really well, right?
Great guy.
He's a great guy. We get to the hospital. He's like, I don't think it's broken. I was like, I know, but for the sake of this, let's pretend it is. Because otherwise you're making me feel like I'm overly dramatic. And he's like, well, you're walking okay. And I was
walking? What happened to the butt scooting?
I was dragging like myself. You can't butt scoot into a hospital.
I thought it was really a proper story.
Go into the hospital on my bum like a dog.
Yeah, you could.
Like,
if
wiping
your ankles
my anus.
Were broken, you could.
Not ankle.
Okay, so.
Yeah, you could. And
okay, it's still very swollen, actually. I'd like to show you in a bit. But we got to the hospital. Neil, I was like, oh, I want a coffee. So I gave Neil £5.
How is Neil bad at all in this story?
No, he comes across I swear.
Okay.
He went to the Costa at the hospital and he came back with a coffee for me, and he got himself this big chocolate milkshake covered in cream and like chocolate syrup. No, inappropriate to drink in an A&E. There are people having miscarriages all around him and he's there sipping on a chocolate milkshake.
Unless you're miscarrying a coffee shake, I don't
know. So you think he's fine?
Yeah.
100%.
Oh my God. Okay, then they the first doctor, Neil's just like looking at me like, it's not broken. And then he doesn't want to play my word cross he gave him my phone, so I'm just getting bad vibes from him. And then I go to the first doctor and they said, oh, that's really, really swollen. We better get it x-rayed. And I was like, good, okay, I don't want it to be broken, but I want to make sure Neil feels bad. Do you know what I mean? So it was, like a little like tear in my head.
Yeah.
So I go in and have x-ray. Great banter with the x-ray guy. Didn't have any stickers, but said if he had one, he would give me one. So we were getting along really well.
Was he hot?
Yeah, he was actually. He was a very nice guy, but my ankle, I had like cankles at this point, so it wasn't going to happen. I lay down on the bed, had my x-ray, said, I don't think it looks broken, but we'll wait and see. And then
he can't read an x-ray? What is
he? No, because he has to give it to another doctor.
Oh, sorry.
He's not a moron. He's wearing scrubs.
So what's his job?
X-ray technician. Obviously x-ray technician.
But then why can't he read the x-ray?
Because he doesn't want to give you a definitive opinion because he might be wrong. Maybe he's in training.
Why don't it need two people?
Okay, basically then I went to the final consultant, and the final consultant, lovely man, name's Ali, he said, it's not broken, but like there's like a ligament tear or something like that. So very, very bad. So still painful. Thank you. And like blood pooling at the bottom of my foot because it can't like pool in the sole. So it like bruises weirdly. Painful stuff, right? And then thank you everyone. I want everyone to know I went through a lot. And then it wasn't broken, so I was pissed off. So then I convinced the doctor, Ali, to go into the waiting room, call Neil into a consultant consultation room and tell him it was broken and he had to be my full-time carer for like 6 weeks.
And Dr. Ali
did this. It was the best moment of my life.
But
he went into the waiting room and went, Neil O'Rourke, and Neil just went, oh no, and like gathered all the bags up in his milkshake and like his glasses, like, oh no, oh shit, and like went through to the consultation room, and he fell for it until he said
how
that you have to get
Neil
me a bell.
Bad in this story?
Because he got a milkshake.
Oh, I see, that's what made him bad, and the rest of it,
he should have been fawning over me, like, oh my God,
he
Helen,
did, he
you're
paid
injured.
For Uber to take you with your unbroken ankle.
It was down
ankle.
The road, and then when it wasn't broken, he went, we're taking the bus back.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
And I paid for his milkshake because I gave him a fiver.
Okay. Well,
and he was saying he wasn't being supportive.
How long?
What is your definition of supportive?
Like carrying me into the hospital.
There you go.
In his arms, like a baby being cradled.
There you go.
And then like a cold flannel on my forehead in the waiting room.
And not drinking any tasty liquids.
Well,
while
not
he was with
a milkshake. That feels like inappropriate.
Chewing rocks. I don't, because he's so sad.
I don't think you should drink a drink that looks as fun as Whimsical with like whipped cream in it when there are people around you who have literally just like been in a car crash. It's like having a mimosa. Do you know what I mean? That's like a celebration drink.
No, that's alcohol. That's a step too far.
Oh, yeah, but no, but like, can you? Oh, no. This is, you can see what I mean, though.
I cannot, but maybe Rosie can.
Okay, to the podcast listeners, I will be putting up a picture of Neil O'Rourke drinking this milkshake in the hospital.
I took a picture.
Through my pain.
You're the prick.
Yes.
How?
He did nothing wrong.
Well, he did nothing.
He didn't
take me. He paid and booked the Uber, but
how
like...
How long were you in there?
Like 3 hours?
Yeah. He sat with me for 3 full hours.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there.
No.
I think I just expected more.
That is a whole different kettle of fish, right?
Okay, fine. Sorry, Neil. Sorry, I've told everyone a mean story about you.
Well, first of all, this is a problem with people your age. Why am I saying that? This is a problem with young people. And you know you're younger than me. There's no more nuance. He's either great or he's a prick. Here's how I see Neil. Neil's a great guy. He came to get you. Then he kind of did something slightly dickish, which is he didn't get you a milkshake. That's the part of the story I didn't like. He didn't get you a milkshake.
Yeah.
And then or anything, you know, to lift your mood. And then he didn't say to you, oh, this is bad. He's like, I don't really think it's broken. It's like, don't say that, Neil. You know what I mean? But it's nuance.
Okay.
Wait, it's like shades of gray.
So Neil's okay.
Neil's okay. Neil can improve for the next time he needs to take you to A&E.
Yeah.
He can improve some of his things. If you want to be in any kind of long-term situation with anyone, You gotta have nuance.
I don't want to be in a long-term relationship with Neil, but we're in a long-term friendship.
I mean,
actually, I did fancy him ages ago.
I am deep down hoping this will happen.
What, me and Neil O'Rourke? Yeah. Oh, I'd kill him. I'd break him in two.
Well, that's fine, because he already knows how to get how to push your buttons, get himself a milkshake and not get you one, so you're in a good place with him.
Welcome to the podcast, Cindy!
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Cindy. Hello.
How are you?
I'm actually... I was very stressed out because I thought I'd be late and I have a bunch of things going on at home. Yeah. But I saw the two of you at the door and I was like, oh my God, it's them.
It's been so long.
It has been so long since we've just sat down and did that. Was that my son calls bants?
Are we doing bants now?
Yes, this is just bants.
I think we're doing bants.
Bear bants. We're just getting to know each other again, like on a human level. It's like reconnecting.
Yeah. I've missed you.
I've missed you too.
I've missed you guys.
I've missed all of us. Oh, Rosie and Cindy were holding hands. I'm just going to drink my coffee. I'm all right with that. I don't need attention.
Were you? Oh,
I was going to do this one. Cindy.
Okay, go for it.
Rosie and I are both comedians because we're attention seekers and we believe everyone is. Would you describe yourself as an attention seeker?
I think in my family I was, because I got no attention. Like, I was neglected. Not neglected like in that kind of bad way, like they didn't feed me and stuff. But I was like the youngest and there was a lot going on at home. Mm-hmm. Well, I was the youngest of two, so to be honest, it wasn't like there was 10 kids. But there was a lot going on at home and no one ever really remembered I was there. Like, you know, I'd be doing something.
Wait, you're one of two and no one remembered you were there? Yeah. You make it sound like when you're like, I was neglected, I was the youngest, that you like were born 10 years after
ten other siblings.
No, I was
one of two.
How small were you?
I was a very tiny child.
Oh, that's
And also I had a stammer.
Why.
I had a terrible stammer.
Did you?
So I'd be trying to say something, but it would be like, kak, 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 wouldn't, and then people would just walk by and they didn't realize I'd been trying to get a sentence out for the last 10 minutes.
No.
Yeah, and then at the dining table, I remember I'd try and tell jokes. My mother would say, oh, it's taking too long. Just write it on this paper, and would give me a piece of paper and I would write out my jokes. No one has time for this. But my dad used to always wait until I'd finished writing the things I wanted to say, like what I did in school. And then he would read it and then he'd have a conversation with me. But my mother was like, after like 5 minutes, she'd be like, this is taking too long, just write it. Which was okay, I guess, in a way. She still wanted to know, but...
Actually, by hearing about your mother, it explains you a lot more.
Yeah, mommy was busy. She was busy being chaotic and dealing with her own shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think at home, I was like, oh, you know, someone pay attention to me.
Yeah.
So I think that was... But outside, not so much, because I didn't... Like, I went to school in the Philippines at an American school, I was the only not white kid, which was fine because kids don't know. Kids are like, I mean, and they used to call me Blackie, which I went home and told my mother. I said, Mommy, they call me Blackie. And she said, well, they are very fair and you're not. What's the problem? So I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't really take it badly. I was like,
your mom was just like, yeah, that's a fine nickname for you, actually.
It's like factual. She's like, you're very dark. They are very fair. What's the problem? So in a way, she didn't pathologize it. She didn't make a big deal. She was like, you're darker than them. So what? Just call them whitey. I was like, oh, okay.
Did you call them all whitey?
Well, I tried, but it would never come out of my mouth, so they didn't really get insulted.
Oh, no!
So
I
would just stand the whole time. I would just be like, and then I've already gone.
Like, you should have walked around with a piece of paper that said whitey on it and just like showed it to people.
Showed it to people. So I think, in school, I don't think I wanted a lot of attention.
That's probably because you got attention from having a stammer, like the first time you speak in class. It was like,
yeah,
I don't want
and I got a lot of negative attention.
Yeah,
class,
that's exactly.
And I didn't want that. But at home, I was like, hey... and I always wanted to tell jokes at home.
Did you?
Always. It was unreal. Now I look back and I'm like, oh.
It was obvious what I was going to do.
Well, yeah. No, but I didn't remember it. The year before I did my debut hour, so what year would that have been? 2017. I started having these dreams. I had this dream that I'm really little and I'm wearing a white vest and white bloomers.
Yeah.
Bloomers, like proper bloomers. Yeah. And I'm hiding behind a curtain. And I'm trying to open the curtain and tell a joke. And I was like, oh, deep, surreal. Like, it means I'm, it's my inner child. And I talked to my mom all the time. And so I called her. I said, oh, my, I had this dream. And she was like, that's not a dream. When you were little, and she said, you don't remember your pajamas? She used to make these outfits for my sister and me to sleep in. They were these big white bloomery kind of underpants.
Oh my God.
And his white vest, I'd totally forgotten. And she said that they would have parties. They loved having parties. And my sister and I had to go to sleep. But I would come down and I would wait
you
outside.
You think your sister and you were both asleep. Your sister was actually invited. You were just
invited. Yes, but apparently I used to leave and there was a curtain outside the guest cloakroom kind of, and I would wait when guests would come out, I'd jump out and try and tell them a joke.
Cute! Oh. Like jump out and be like, the chicken crosses the road!
No, I couldn't, I had a stammer.
No!
So they would be...
I can't do the impression of a stammer.
I know, but I would like literally stand in front of them, just stuttering, staring at them, and they would be in blind panic. A lot of these people, I remember Mrs. Garda Kohler, that was her name. She was
Garda Kohler?
Garda Kohler, she was German.
Wow, that's
and
a great name.
Garda Kohler. I remember she had short hair. She just got scared and she was looking at me and I had like these, I was like grunting at her. I remember that. And so I started remembering all these things. And I was like, and my mom was like, you're always trying to tell jokes and you're always so, you know, you're always trying to be joker. So I guess.
Yeah.
Don't say I guess I was an attention seeker if you were going to parties you weren't invited to.
They were
hiding
in
a closet and jumping out. Yeah, but it's not your house then, is it? Like, you're just a kid that lives in the house.
It's my house.
No, okay. Your house.
How scary would it be, though, if every dream you had, you found out was actually true in real life?
Oh, my God.
Because I've had some really fucked up ones. And then as soon as you went, but it's actually true, I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly.
The things I've done in my dreams.
Oh, my God. But anyway, so I think I must have been.
Yeah.
You know, I don't identify as an attention seeker, but I probably was one.
I don't think anyone wants to identify as it.
Well, you two are doing a great job. You're like,
well, we have to be honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're being a true self.
You're being the change that we want to see in other ways as well.
It's the change that we want to see in other people.
What sort of attention did you like getting from people at school?
Laughter.
Was it always laughter? Nothing romantic? Nothing later?
No, I wanted romantic attention when I was but I was...
Just the clown.
I was a... I was very unsuccessful with boys.
I'm being so cold. Just a clown, were you, my love?
Yeah, I was.
Just a faceless, prideless clown, desperately trying to get attention through laughter, was it?
With one tear.
With one tear.
Yes!
No, I wasn't. I was in with the cool kids.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Of my jokes.
We never get the cool kids in here.
Yeah, I was in with them as the person who was funny.
Oh my God, amazing.
So, but it was a little bit humiliating because I knew that's why I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I moved to a American school in India. It's a long story, but it was a boarding school up in the mountains in India, and it was American, and all the kids were super American, and they had like fancy stuff. And I don't know. Well, anyway, long story. So I got sent there, or I wanted to go there, dumb of me. But it was very American setup. You had dances and boys ask girls out. In the 2 years I was there, so all the girls would line up and the boys would come and ask you. I would always...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And I would always stand. I would be the only one standing on the wall because everyone got asked.
That's awful.
But in my defense, I was very funny. I got great grades. And then we had this one class and it was a drama class and it was with Mr. Weidman.
Yeah.
David Weidman. He was very, very good at drama. So he made all of us write a journal. And they were very private, but he said it was good for acting. But because I was the straight A student, he would let me carry his books from homeroom to his office. Yeah. I once read everyone's
book. You were not in the cool group.
No.
Like before we get into reading them, teacher was like encouraging you to carry the books.
Yeah, no, but I was in the cool group like during lunch. They'd be like, oh, come over here and I'd tell a joke and it would be fun. I didn't hang out with them all the time because they were always making out.
Okay.
With each other.
So whose diaries did you read?
Oh, I read the diaries of the most popular boys. In fact, the boy in my class was very popular, Mohit Sagar. Mohit, if you're listening to this, you know already. He's now a very dear friend of mine. He came to my wedding. He was one of the witnesses.
Oh, Mohit. Oh,
yeah,
great.
Mohit. But anyway, I read his journal.
What
and he was such
say?
A baby about the girl that he liked. And he didn't know if she liked him back. And he was such a tough guy at school. I... was like, you are joking me. So in a way, I thought, what? Because I was like, I'm cooler than this. And then one day he said something to me in class and I looked at him and I literally quoted one of his lines from his journal.
You bitch!
Oh, yeah. I never said I was nice. I said I was...
No, we didn't. No one was
seeing it. I quoted him. No one else knew what the line was and I quoted it to him and he was like, oh, and I said all of it. And then he just never said anything to me again.
What?
Oh my God.
I know. In these days, it would be illegal because all consent and all, but then there was nothing.
Was it just like little chapters for each day was everyone writing?
Everyone just wrote their thoughts.
And their feelings. All the thoughts are pretty much the same, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't read everyone's. I only read the people that I thought needed it to be put down a few notches.
Yeah, you needed that power.
Yeah, it was so much power. It was so malicious and awful, and I loved it.
But also, like, I didn't properly ever keep a diary, but I'd go through phases of doing it. And I never wrote it for me. I always wrote it assuming someone was going to find it and read it someday.
I always wrote a diary like I would not... I always wrote a diary like I was going to...
Be Anne Frank.
Sort of. It was always...
I wrote mine to be read.
No, not in that sense. I always wrote my diary like
not
it was
in the
my
sort of
last...
like in an attic in Amsterdam or anything.
I wrote my diary always like a last will and testament kind of thing. So I would like write all kinds of things I wanted people to know. And of course, I'm still here. So
like what? Like what sort
like
of...
The, like all kinds of things about what they had meant to me. Like every year was my last year on this planet.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the level of angst.
Yeah.
I have all my diaries. My parents sent me all my diaries. They're in my house right now. They pulsate with teenage angst. If you walk by, you're like, what's that feeling? If you open the closet, it's my diaries going... Literally... They're so bullshitty angst. It's a joke.
So,
can you tell when you've made... So sorry, go on.
I say about like one boy or different boys.
I've always only liked one boy at a time.
Yeah.
So it's always been about that boy and he didn't look at me. What did it mean? And what is the meaning of it? And you know, why do you think I'm... why do you think I'm here?
Yeah.
Like what, you know, and you know this. And then my best friend, it's just, I mean, honestly, if I was my own kid, I'd have given myself away. I'm not even joking.
I think that's normal.
Yeah.
I wasn't normal. I did the exact opposite. Because as a teenager, I liked no boys.
Oh.
So my answer...
Well, obviously... whatever.
Yes.
My answer was obviously I'm broken.
Right, of course.
I'm gay. It was, not a human being. So I decided to tell boys that I like them because I thought if I told them and then obviously they would say I like you because I'm great.
Yes. And those tits.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I came in today. I've had a good feel of you and you. And that's high quality stuff.
Thank you.
These babies grew overnight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went from a B to a G in 4 weeks.
Amazing.
And then...
Amazing.
So I had a lot of friends who were boys. And what I do, I take them to the co-op.
Fuck's sake. Fuck.
And then they were there and say, oh, I like you.
In co-op.
I got feeling for you. When we were buying...
In the yogurt and cheese aisle.
No.
No. Oh, sorry.
Bread. We would all buy a baguette, take out the white bit, and put crisps in.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Dude, that's
so
yummy.
So we'd do that, and I'd be like, I think I like you. Can we be boyfriend girlfriend?
Just asked out straight out, right and full.
Every time they'd be like, no. but then them saying no made me go, thank
spot.
Oh yeah.
But do you feel like people won't think I'm broken because I've like said to, like, oh, yeah, I've asked them out.
Yeah.
And well, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I did my part.
Yeah,
man.
I can put my hat on the plate.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly
feeling shot.
I hate the idea that you thought you were broken for so many years.
Oh my god.
And a lot of good crisp sandwiches.
This is a comedy podcast, so I won't get into it. But I thought I was broken till I was 25. And then
it's so late.
Like, overnight, I was like, oh, wait, one, I'm gay, and two, that's okay.
Yeah,
why and not? The two revelations together made me go, breathe, I can now eat crisp sandwiches without even asking a boy out.
The next day, Rosie was doing a tour of co-ops in the UK, a different woman in each co-op.
I want,
get him again, bitch!
Do you want my baguette?
Smash the crisps in, whore! Suck it! That's a beautiful story, Rosie. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
So
thank you. Goodbye.
Also makes me look like such a twat being like, I just danced in front of guys.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Rosie, for your sad little story.
I'm doing my coffee and I'll let you two get on with it.
Thank you so much.
Your coffee that looks like caramel, beautiful something something.
So
thank
nice.
You, Jack, for making us lovely coffees.
You're welcome.
We love you.
I don't think Paul Manchester it looked like a woman's original.
It was a really bad joke.
Had to be dropped.
Yes.
I found it.
Cindy didn't find it
no,
funny.
No, I found it very evocative.
Fuck you. Evocative?
Evocative.
I love
what the
it.
Fuck does that mean?
That means it made me, it really evoked that spirit of some buttery, caramelly thing in the coffee. Aren't you, isn't your, is your first language German?
No, English.
Oh, well, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know.
It's hard sometimes because there's so many words to remember them all. Like, I still can't spell minute.
M-I-N-U-T-E.
Yeah, but I always put E-U-T-E.
E-U-T-E.
Like, minute.
Minuet.
Minuet? Yeah, something like that. Is that what minuet is?
No.
Is that a music thing? No.
No. Okay, you know what? Let's go from here. Let's go from here. Otherwise, you're going to be...
Hey, Cindy, you little attention whore. No.
Well, Cindy, you certainly have no problem with the word whore. You've only brought it up four times.
Are we not supposed to be using that word anymore, are we?
Well, no, you can. I don't
know. Yeah, we can. It's fine.
You can call me a whore.
You're a whore.
I know.
Thank you.
I know.
Cindy, I've got a really good question for you. When you were
younger... Can I interrupt your question?
Yeah.
One of the things this reminds me, one of the things that's annoying me these days is that whenever... I went to some stand-up in America and we could stand up here. It's become very cool for women to reference each other as bitch. You bitches better be.
No.
And you know, what kind of bitch are you? And I find, you know, why? Why is that the cool way to reference other women? Bitch this and bitch. It might be cool in certain instances.
It's just a phase, isn't it? Isn't that going to go out of fashion soon enough?
Well, it doesn't matter whether it goes out of fashion. I just think, why are you calling each other bitches? I mean, I'm saying it's different if you're a big rap star and that's the language you're using and you have to use it in your music. But everyday people getting up on stage and being like, so you bitches must be like that. And you are my bitches. I'm not anyone's bitch, man. Yeah.
I'm still in the queen and babe phase. Everyone's
queen
and everyone's
babe.
A babe.
Bitch, the problem is bitch started with men saying, yo, you're my bitch. It's not a positive word.
Yeah, babe started in the film with the pig.
But yeah, I would rather be a pig than some guy's bitch.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, I didn't overcome my stammer by doing, I didn't do any drama or anything. I did nothing. I did the drama class in school. That was all I was allowed to do. And I wanted to join the Shakespeare Society.
Oh, cute. You were such a popular girl.
When I was at university, and my father said no. He said, because you'll come home after dark. So you have to get home. You can't come home after dark. And all the cool kids, not my friends were in it.
No.
Yeah, but
where did you go to university?
Delhi first.
Nice.
I went to a lot of different universities because I was studying for a long time as a way to not get married.
Smart.
Great. Not get married before I wanted. I always wanted to get married, but just when I wanted. So I wasn't allowed to do that. So I didn't do anything creative. I overcame my stammer by, when I moved to India back from the Philippines, I had to learn a new language. And when you're learning a totally new language, people give you more space.
Yeah.
And then, so there was these gaps weren't awkward with my stammer. And also in a new language, I realized very quickly that my stammer was associated the most with words that started with vowels. Because in Hindi, you have the vowels are separate than the alphabet. Mm-hmm. So we have a, you know, cause it's a fully phonetic language. So the vowels were very hard for me. So that's, I figured out, I must've been 11.
Yeah.
That, the vowels are the tricks.
Yeah.
So then what I did is my father had a thesaurus.
Oh my God.
I used to go
Roger's
home from
thesaurus.
School. It was a big thesaurus. Yeah. Yes. And I would take all the common words that started with vowels and find synonyms. So I started to skip those words.
Fuck off. How old were you when you did this?
11, 12.
Oh, whoa. That's amazing.
Because no one in my house was like, this is a medical problem. They were like, you're irritating. So I was like, I got to figure this out. Mm. On the one hand, I'm happy they didn't pathologize it because it was like, ugh, you're just... So it was a small thing. If they'd taken me somewhere, maybe I would have thought I had a big problem.
Yeah.
Or maybe on the other hand, they should have taken me. Who knows? Like I said, no one was really paying attention to me.
Poor Cindy.
So no, it was fine. They had a lot of their own stuff going on. If they paid attention, they'd have been like, you need to get good grades, this, that.
Yeah.
They were putting all their attention on my older sister.
I wish everyone could just see Cindy's face.
So that's what I did. I remember distinctly coming home and writing down. So what happened is, because my stammer wasn't, there was nothing physiological about it. Some people have physiological things. What I did was I started to just, it just got easier.
Yeah.
So like instead of, I remember very distinctly because and is a word that comes up a lot and I couldn't say and. So I started saying things like moreover.
Oh my God. And that could come out a lot easier because it didn't start with a vowel.
It was always the vowel word.
Wow.
And the thing about a stammer is it's a bit like being in a constant state of anxiety. So, you know, if you've ever had an anxiety attack, like on the tube, the next time you get on, you don't have it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, sort of slip-slided my way around until it got very easy. I concealed it. I mean, I had it up until I came here to university. I was 23,
really?
24. But I could see it. Like when I would be talking to you, I would see the word in the distance and I would already be fixing it.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Rosie?
Yeah. So I am a big language nerd. And because I speak slowly, I am constantly self-editing, and I can see the sentence I'm about to say.
Yay!
And I go, no, I don't need that word. Right, that word is three syllables. Oh, I know that one-syllable word.
Fuck, it's a whole new way of thinking, isn't it?
But you're not doing it consciously. It's just happening here all the time.
Yeah. And I think because I couldn't write down, I am I got a good memory, so I just always do things constantly in my head because it's quicker than writing it all down. That's amazing. So
and the thing is, I've never met anyone who got it, but you get it. Right? And I totally understand what you're saying. And so that was then, and now I don't have it. Like, I don't even think about it now. But
but do you still do it?
No, I don't have to now because now I don't really have a stammer. I can sometimes, when I don't know, sometimes I think, oh, I'm going to trip on a word, but I don't trip on a word. I mean, it was really gone by the time I was in my mid-20s. But also the thing is, it was very much, again, it was like if it didn't happen, then I knew it wouldn't happen.
But I
used to see certain words coming. Oh my God, reading out loud. But I was like, you know what? I got to do it. So I would just be ahead of myself all the time.
Who enjoys reading out loud? It's the fucking worst thing.
Well, when I went to university here, I had no idea that the way that they do it here is you have to write an essay and then read it out to your tutor.
Fuck off, do you have to do that?
Yeah, you have to sit, he's sitting in a chair, you're sitting in a chair, you're reading out your essay. That was a bit nerve-wracking. But, you know, I think it's a lot of stumbling over and then getting up. I guess that initial thing when I was 11 and 12 really helped.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Did you want to do stand-up comedy from quite, like, from, like, your early 20s?
No, I'd never seen
didn't
it.
Didn't even think about
I'd
it
I'd never
at
seen
all.
It when I started.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know. I had seen a DVD of Eddie Murphy.
No.
Yes, I'd never seen it. I'd never thought. It had never crossed my mind. Some people had said to me, you should do comedy. You're very funny. You should write a book or something. And I'd be like, no. Like, I mean, performing was never something that I
But you're so good at it.
So good.
Well, thank you. But I don't know what to say. You know,
do you like the attention you get from performing now? Does it feel like you're sort of like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Yes. I mean, I very much feel like I felt that on the first time I was on stage, which was the Funny Women Heats. I was like, oh, I got to do this again. I did. I mean, I didn't have any idea what stand-up is. I didn't know anything. I got on stage. I did this thing. And by then I knew that it was, because I'd seen all the women go in front of me. So I knew that it was, like, I knew stand-up was a thing. I'd never seen it. I'd never gone to a comedy club. But I knew this was happening. And I thought, okay. But when I was doing it, I felt completely aligned with, that's such a wanky word. There was no doubt in me that I would do it again and I would keep on doing it. And I had no idea to what end.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this again. This is great.
I think it's the thing of every time, you don't realize you've been doing it your entire life until you start doing it. Like, you were going to, like, sneaking down to these parties to try and, like, join in and tell these jokes. And, like, you don't realize that, like, you've been spending your entire life trying to make everyone around you laugh and include everyone and do the whole bits and bobs. And, like, you don't even realize it when you first start doing stand-up. But then you start realizing that everyone you're working with as a stand-up is, like, very similar to you in that, like, core way.
And I tell you what, I always feel that one is that even in a green room full of people I don't know well, or even in a green room where a couple of people I'm not really that keen on, they're my people.
Hello, sorry to interrupt us with more, but we wanted to say we're at the Soho Theatre.
The pair of us. It's a dream come true.
We're bringing our show there. So why don't you come and see us live?
So I'd recommend going to see Rosie Jones on the 21st to the 25th of January at 8:45 p.m. I'm going on the Wednesday already with my housemate Emma. We're very excited.
And then exactly the week after.
2 weeks after, I think.
Oh, I've bought it.
You've messed it.
2 weeks after, from Monday the 3rd to Saturday the 8th of February, you can see Helen's show.
It's called Little Miss Baby Angel Thighs.
So Google Soho Theatre. Search our names.
Come see both of us. I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Do it. Don't choose a favourite. What are you?
We've all know who the favourite is. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
See you. Bye.
Bye bye. we're probably ready to wrap this up. I think we've been doing great.
Really asked me
but
nothing.
No. Yes, we
you have.
Have
asked me nothing.
Are you serious?
What?
Did you like? Do you like attention? Did you get it when you were younger?
Love life.
Love life and attention.
Okay.
Now you're career. Okay. Like we've asked you fucking loads of stuff. What do you want to be asked?
I don't know.
What's your bra size?
32D.
32. That's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want. The 32 back and then the big tit.
I'm glad.
But they're kind of post kids, so.
Your tits are amazing. So stop it. Rosie is everyone's daddy. Now, Sindhu, do you know what you've got into here?
I have to call her daddy?
Yeah.
Okay, daddy.
I am daddy.
And why?
What do you mean, why? Disrespect her.
Okay, fine.
Because she is your daddy. She's everyone's daddy.
Need a reason to be daddy. I had a lot of children.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay. I don't mind that.
I feel like you do mind it and you're just being like super like, I don't know, like, I don't care, whatever.
I don't know. What vibe would you like me to present?
I don't know. I want to have a fight with you and I feel like you're just like not doing it and I'm just getting frustrated.
I'm not going to have a fight with you.
I miss fighting with you.
But I miss you. So when I'm done missing you, which is going to be right after this podcast, then next time we meet, I'll fight with you.
Okay, but I want you to like actually pull my hair.
No, I'll come and... As my kid said the other day to her sister, you broke my boob. I'm going to come and break your boob.
Yes! Break my boob. Daddy, sorry.
Right.
Sorry, daddy.
Listen to daddy. So.
Yes, daddy.
As your daddy, we're going to have a day together.
Okay.
Me, you, Helen.
Can I come on this one?
Yeah.
Yes!
Why?
Because I'd like to be part of the group. How about that?
So first of all, we need to get your mum involved.
Okay.
And she needs to make 3 pairs of pajamas.
Okay.
Well, you're going to get the bloomers.
Yeah.
Yes!
We're going to get matching bloomers.
I'm so into
yes.
this.
Yes.
And then together... We're all going to a party.
And then one stand behind the curtain.
Oh my goodness, stand behind the curtain. And every time someone comes and gets a coat, we're going to jump out and you're going to tell a joke.
Wait, which joke would you do now?
I have the same joke I used to do.
Okay.
If like ever feel like you're taking too long or they feel bored, me and Helen are gonna pin them down and go, listen, listen to our girl, you bitch.
Yes!
All back. She was so good.
She's like, so good, right?
She's like, what a set out of this blabbering I've been doing. So good.
Then, obviously, they're gonna laugh at your amazing joke.
We haven't heard the joke yet. We don't know if it's good.
Well, it's a surprise for the day.
For the day.
Mm. I'd like to tell my own joke. I don't want to just hold them
then
down.
Then, we're gonna... Oh, go away. No, no, it's not your day, Helen.
Yeah, but I'm on the day.
But, you know, not by popular demand. You've inserted yourself into my day. Not
I was
my
invited.
Joke. Well, you asked her in a loud voice. She
no,
said, okay.
No, I didn't. I looked at her in a loud voice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're all going to go to a diner.
Oh,
food.
Three of us. And we're going to talk about your joke.
Oh, gosh.
Whilst we eat grilled cheese sandwiches and drink milkshakes.
Oh, and can we have baguettes with crisps?
Yay!
Can Neil O'Rourke come and carry us all out afterwards? Yeah!
This is the best.
What a day!
Would you like to plug anything?
Would I like to plug anything? Yes, actually, I would. I am, for all the people listening to this great podcast, I'm going back on tour.
Yeah.
In starting the
early, Sandhog?
5th of September. Yeah, the yes. show is called Sandhog. You have to come to the show to find out why, because if I tell you, it's like telling you the end of a movie that, you know, like
it's
I don't want to now say the end of the movie.
Brilliant fucking show. It's Thank so you. Good. Like everyone should 100%
Thank
go.
You. So that's going back on tour. It's going all over the place. The dates are on my website. Please buy a ticket. Shout please come. God. And please
bring loved ones as well.
Yeah,
share
bring
people.
Loved ones.
Bring your loved ones. Bring people. Yeah, hey.
Yeah, and I mean, oh, you know what? Just you come and enjoy it. Yeah. Who has the time to look out for other people, frankly? But what I will say is, and keep listening to this podcast because it is one of the most genuine podcasts ever. I mean, everyone is just being themselves.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you get a great story about going out with Dad.
Sindhu.
I love that.
Shut up. Do
Daddy.
You mean that?
I do.
Oh, look at us. We're so happy now. I'm going to go on Rosie's microphone. Thank you, Sindhu.
Thank you,
do you want a song to sing you out with?
Yes.
Get off your phone. Are you taking a picture of us?
Stop it. Just stop.
Is that cute?
So good.
Thank you. Social good at Sindhu V, I'm assuming. At Sindhu V Gigs.
Sindhu V Funny. Is
at
my
Sindhu V
Instagram.
Funny.
Yeah.
At Sindhu V Funny on Instagram.
No, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
And on Instagram, it's just Sindhu V.
At Sindhu V on Instagram. At Sindhu V on Twitter.
Easy.
Easy. And also, thank you for listening.
Thank you for enjoying.
Thank you, Rosie, for your words and your kindness
thank
and your heart.
Thank you, Helen, for your face.
Let's go to the cinema now. Bye!
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 You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello, Revela!
Revela!
Yeah. Reverend Richard Coles.
AKA the Rev with all the coals.
No.
He's ready for Christmas and he's ready to come on our podcast. Hi, Richard. It's comedian Helen Bauer here with comedian Rosie Jones. Please come on our podcast because I think you can bring a touch of class and dignity to it, which
yeah.
we're very much missing at the moment.
And we really want to chat to you about being a comedian, reverend, musician, YouTube, bloody everything.
You're amazing, Richard.
We love you. Get back to us.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Deleted.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.